Well, welcome to our new message series for the season of fall. We're calling it Revival Arrival because we are praying for a spiritual revival. Every so often, there's an awakening of faith among people, and we are long overdue, but you can already see the early signs of it beginning. A revival is coming, and I believe it will begin in our own hearts. Today, I want to talk with you about healing is coming. We all want to be healthy, feel good, have a lot of energy. An illness, even a minor one, can knock us off course. So can a health scare, like the one that I had about a year ago. I felt this lump on the left side of my throat. I thought, uh-oh, doesn't feel normal, shouldn't be there, it's never been there before. So I made an appointment with the doctor. He looked at it and he referred me to a specialist. She said that my saliva gland was enlarged. It was swollen. I thought, oh, okay, no big deal. I had a little swelling. It's probably an infection. She's going to give me a prescription and send me away with antibiotics. But that's not what happened. Instead, she said she was ordering a CAT scan, a biopsy, and a whole lot of blood work. Well, that surprised me. And then she looked at me and she said, and by the way, there's a 50-50 chance it would be cancer. Well, I nearly fell off the exam table. I mean, how did that happen? I'm a young man, at least in my own mind. I couldn't believe that it was happening. Well, it took several weeks to get those results back. And then she said, you need another biopsy, a second one, a surgical biopsy. That took a few more weeks. I got to tell you, this whole time, I was freaking out. That lump was all I could think about. I kept touching it night and day just to see if it was growing, to see if I could feel it growing. I had all these doomsday scenarios that I created in my mind. This is the end. Premature death. I imagined all of you wailing and weeping over my casket here at St. Hilary, you know, throwing yourself over my dead body. Please, Father Roger, don't leave us. Don't leave us. I felt like King Hezekiah in the scripture when he was sick and he cried out to God. He said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? There were several dramatic conversations between me and God in those few weeks while I was waiting for the results. Well, fortunately, it turned out that everything was okay. It was not cancer. It was really nothing. The lump went away on its own. I was so relieved. And I know that doesn't always happen. And I'm very sorry about that. It's easy to get discouraged when something is wrong with us medically. A serious health condition can, you know, bring us down, frighten us, sometimes even shake our faith. It's tempting to ask, why me, God? What did I do wrong? If you've been dealing with it, struggling with it for a while, it can seem like it will never get better. But God always speaks healing into our lives. In Psalm 103, David praises God for healing all our illnesses, and renewing our youth. When God led the Israelites out of slavery, the entire Egyptian army came after them. At one point, they were trapped. The sea was in front of them, soldiers advancing to the rear. God parted the waters, led the Israelites through to the other side where the desert was, and they came to safety. They came to a place called Marah, where God turned bitter water sweet so the people could drink it. And then, in that place, God promised them that if they were faithful to Him, trusted Him, obeyed Him, and did the right thing, He would not allow the diseases that harmed the Egyptians to harm them. He said, "For I, the Lord, am your healer." Scripture calls Him Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. The question is, do you trust Him to heal you? Many years ago, my brother moved his radio business from New York City down to the central coast of Florida. He bought a small office building there, and I happened to be visiting and was helping him move in. I'm a good little brother, and you know, many hands make labor light. I think that's the phrase. And anyway, while we were doing all of this, his new receptionist collapsed. She just fell to the ground without warning. Well, we rushed over and, you know, checked her. Her skin was pale and clammy. She wasn't responding. It seemed serious. I had been an EMT, worked on an ambulance. I said, we should call for help. But my brother was and still is a born-again evangelical Christian with deep faith. Faith that God can and will heal us. So he gathered everyone around, all his friends and the other co-workers who were there that day helping him move in, and they all started praying over this woman. They prayed from the heart. They prayed with this profound belief that God would turn this situation around, that he would restore this woman to health, that she would get up and live again. I just kept thinking, shouldn't we call the paramedics? Maybe pray later? So I did. I called 911, and before the rescue truck arrived, she revived. She got up off the floor. She walked around. She was normal again. Her color had returned. She seemed fine. It made me think, you know, modern medicine is a great gift from God. Doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals can do so much to bring healing to our bodies and our minds. But the one who truly heals us, the one who is our healer, is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our God. In the gospel story today, Jesus heals a man with a hearing impairment and a speech impediment. He could not hear and he could not speak. It must have been terrible. Jesus took the man away from the crowd to be alone with him, and he put his fingers in the man's ear, and then he spat on his own finger and placed it on the man's tongue. You see, in those days, saliva was thought to have healing properties. But as a side note, I got to tell you, many of you know that I am a terrible germaphobe. And if I had been that man needing healing and it had been anyone other than Jesus, that would have been a hard pass for me. I mean, like, no, absolutely no. I'll stick with my problems. But fortunately, the man didn't. He accepted it. And did you notice what Jesus did? He groaned. Why did he groan? He groaned out of compassion for all the suffering this man had been through. And then he said in Aramaic, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. Immediately, the man's faculties were fully restored. He could hear everything. He could speak normally. His healing was instantaneous and complete. But there's a detail in that story that's easily overlooked but really important. Before he healed the man, the passage says Jesus looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. He was showing total reliance on his heavenly Father. Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of Righteousness, the one that the prophet Malachi prophesied would come with healing in his wings. And yet he put his total and complete trust in God to heal this man and to restore him back to health. In the first reading today, the prophet Isaiah predicts that the Messiah would come one day. And when he came, he would open the eyes of the blind, clear the ears of the deaf, make the lame leap like stags, like deer, and the tongue of the mute to sing. But think about this. If Jesus, the Messiah himself, looked up to heaven for healing, isn't that where we, you and I, should look first for our healing? Isn't that where we should seek our healing? Is by looking up to heaven. Well, some of you may be saying, Father Roger, I've been sick a long time. I've had this anxiety for years, since I can remember. I've had this diabetes for so long, I have to give myself insulin shots every day. My doctor put me on high blood pressure medicine decades ago. It's not getting any better. I've been depressed for so long. I don't think it's going to improve. The doctors say my heart disease is here to stay. There's nothing else they can do. Maybe you've got cancer or someone you love has cancer and you kind of lost hope. But can I respectfully ask you to consider something? In the scripture, Jesus cured a woman who had been hemorrhaging a flow of blood for 12 years. He healed a woman who was bent over and could not stand up straight for 18 years. He worked a miracle for a man suffering with an illness for 38 years. He opened the eyes of a grown man who was born blind many years ago. Do you not think that the all-powerful God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, can heal you? Nothing will be impossible for God except when we decide to put our own limits on his healing power. I spoke to a woman after church recently. She had just been through a very difficult medical situation with her family. Her husband's routine blood work came back with an unusually high level of a protein called AFP. It's apparently a tumor marker. It's a sign that it could be cancer. And unfortunately, in his case, it turned out to be. They later discovered a 2-inch tumor on the man's liver. I'm not a doctor, but that's not small. It was terrible news. The man was only in his mid-50s, and I know there's a bunch of kids here, but let me tell you, I'm in my late 50s, and I feel young. This was a relatively young man these days, and he had a 7-year-old daughter. This was disaster. And to make things worse, the woman had just recovered. She just survived cancer herself. After numerous surgeries, many rounds of chemotherapy, several months of radiation treatment, it now seemed that disaster had struck this family again. Hard to fathom. She told me that when she was first battling her own illness, her cancer, she would always pray to God, asking him that for his will to be done. You know, whatever that happened to be, however it turned out, what she asked for was the strength to keep fighting, the courage to endure, the resolve to not lose faith. She would meditate on the cross of Jesus. She would unite her suffering with his and offer it up for the redemption of others. All good things. But she said during that whole ordeal, she never asked God directly to heal her. She thought that would be too bold, too overconfident, like telling God what to do. She didn't want to be disrespectful and frankly push her luck with the Lord. But this time she decided would be different. She thought about all those stories in the scripture when Jesus healed people and brought them back to health. She came to Mass and she saw the priest holding up the Eucharist, you know, as she had seen hundreds of times before. But this time, she prayed quietly in her heart, Lord Jesus, can you please heal my husband? She went home and she prayed boldly over her husband. She prayed with her hands over him. She laid hands on him and she asked God in no uncertain terms to take that tumor away. She prayed with confidence, with expectation, with the conviction that he would answer her request. Several weeks later, in a follow-up test, guess what? The tumor was gone. The doctor couldn't explain it, tried to explain it away, but she knew what happened. She's now part of a new prayer team that we are forming here to offer healing and hope to people who are struggling and suffering. Scripture says Jesus went around everywhere, healing every disease and every affliction among the people. But he has given every person of faith that same ability. To that woman who had that, you know, flow of blood, he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. See that? Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be cured, be healed of your disease. When the daughter of a synagogue official named Jairus was at the point of death, Jesus told him, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. He declared to the man cleansed of leprosy and to the blind man who had pleaded for his sight back, your faith has healed you. In his final moments on earth before he ascended back into heaven, Jesus told his apostles in the Gospel of Mark that anyone who believes in his name will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm not saying that everything is always going to be okay. That would not be accurate. Many people are not healed. And sadly, death will come for all of us one day. God has a loving plan for each of us. And that sometimes includes him allowing us to go through certain things. Things that we do not like. Things we cannot understand. But what I'm saying is, our starting point should not be from a place of doubt and disbelief, a skeptical realism. Oh, well, that's just the way it is. I'm sick and I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm never going to get better. No, we should approach the throne of grace with confidence and conviction, the conviction that God wants to heal us and can do it. Kind of reminds me of that joke about the man who came to church one Sunday. He was having some financial problems, and so he asked God to help him win the lottery. He goes out of church, doesn't win the lottery, comes back the next week. His tone now is a little more urgent, a little more insistent. Lord, you know what's at stake here. I could lose everything. Please help me win the lottery. He goes out of church and comes back the next week. He still hasn't won. This is now the third time, and he's kind of angry with God. He says, Lord, this is the third time I've asked you to help me win the lottery. What do I have to do to win the lottery? This time he hears a voice booming from heaven. My son, would you be reasonable? Could you maybe meet me halfway? Go out and buy a lottery ticket at least. It's easy in this cynical and disbelieving world to forget that our God is a miracle worker, a way maker. But we have to meet him halfway. We have to at least meet him halfway with confidence that he will heal us. Even if it doesn't always happen, we have to keep trying, keep believing, not be doubting, but believing. After all, he is the one who flung stars into space, who created the heavens and the earth, who formed humanity out of dirt and clay. He parted bodies of water, caused bread to rain down from heaven, water to flow from a rock, the sun and moon to stop in their course. He shut the mouths of lions, gave children to the barren, rescued the three teenagers from the fiery furnace. He fed thousands with just a few fish and loaves of bread. He stilled the storms, calmed the waves, and raised the dead to new life. He has the power to heal you, and he loves you enough to do it. Only the enemy is glorified in the corruption of our bodies. God gets the glory when we are healed, when we are strong, when we have the courage to trust, when we have the faith to believe. This is our revival of faith today. That we will be believers and not doubters. That we will meet God halfway, more than halfway, and have confidence in him. That we will boldly proclaim from our hearts that our Lord, our God, is and always will be our healer and our strength.